Thank you, Steve and John P. Again, hearing the word spoken in another language other than English reminds us of the miracle and power of Pentecost. Today we began a short sermon series on church membership. It seems very fitting that we began on Pentecost Sunday. We recount the role of the Holy Spirit in bringing people together, bringing actually all things together, and as forming the church. I'd invite you just to take a minute in your own mind to think about how you got here. Now, I don't mean mode of transportation. I'm assuming we're probably fairly similar in that we all came in a motorized vehicle of some kind. But I mean how it is that you are a part of this particular body that's called Percussy Mennonite Church. After all, you've had a lot of options, even today. Perhaps some of you drove by a number of churches to get here. Or there's the option of being a part of the nuns, those who, when asked on surveys about their religious affiliation, mark none of the above. And if I think about it, I marvel at how I got to this church, the chain of events, the call out of the blue from to Mary while we were still living in Ohio, asking if she'd have any interest at all in a pastoral position at Blooming Glen Mennonite Church in Percussy, Pennsylvania, and we had to go to the map and figure out where Percussy, Pennsylvania was. And at that very time when we were wondering where our ministries were both headed, both of us employed at that time by Ohio Mennonite Conference. And then when Mary followed that call and my initial conversation with the search committee here, and over the course of a couple of months in the summer of 2008, responded to the call to become your pastor. But I'd like to think that if we were living in this area and I weren't a pastor, that I would have landed here anyway. In a couple of weeks, over two Sundays, we'll be receiving a number of you into membership, and we'll celebrate your presence with us. Some have been around for a few years, like Steve and Jumpy and Ben and Trina and others much more recently. We'll give each person an opportunity to talk about how it is that they landed or decided to become a part of this congregation. And I think we'll all rejoice in the diverse ways in which we have been brought together here. How we got here begins with the story we celebrate on Pentecost Sunday. And with that, there's a story that we heard that was read to us in two different languages, how we had been one and then all scattered to the four winds, and Genesis tells that tale, beginning as one family all descended from one common ancestor, the primal Adam and Eve, but then scattered. The story of Babel and the tower and the beginning of languages and separation by race and language and culture, and over the years, even more silly reasons for separating. But then on Pentecost, that particular Sunday, that particular Pentecost, when those disciples were huddled together in one place. And of course, they were not much more than a small conglomeration of relative strangers to each other at that point that couldn't really understand each other and coming together out of their varieties of traditions. all wondering about what the future held for them. And then, without warning, without being requested, the Holy Spirit descended. And what language is used for talking about such an event? It's as it were tongues of fire or wind, something that's even beyond human description happened there. And the great miracle then of those that were very diverse beginning to somehow understand one another and being felt like they were made into one family in spite of their diversity. It was what we would call the birthday of the church, brought together on the heels of this new movement of those who had followed this Jewish leader from Galilee and Palestine. This charismatic prophet, this teacher, this healer, this Jesus of Nazareth. But he was gone from them, and those who remained were pretty sure the movement was over, at least until that moment. Now, do you see how we got here? We're here all together, not because we share the same opinions, not because we have all the same socioeconomic level or the same cultural or religious background. We're here because of the miraculous, unexpected work of God's Holy Spirit. You're here. You're gathered, our church, one of the many, many miracles of the risen Christ, no longer with us in body, but now poured out in spirit many, 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 many times in many languages, cultures, traditions. What a miracle. The Spirit in the spaces within us, within the molecules of our most intimate bodies, in the spaces between us, in this room, and here among us, so graphically displayed behind us in color and beauty, in the flowers. Now, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but I believe that some of you probably wouldn't automatically choose each other to be together in one place. Yet you've come here, you worship together, you use your gifts, you're committed to the life and ministry of this congregation. But I can imagine that there are times when you wonder, when something is said or something is done that you may disagree with, where you wince a little bit and you wonder, now, how did I get here? Why am I here? But it seems that the message for us this morning is that that's all quite beside the point. The point is that we are called to be Jesus' disciples, put in this place, at this time, here, in all our peculiarity and wonder. When Jesus walked the earth, he told the story of a parable that's recorded for us in the Gospels, a parable that portrayed the kingdom of God like a great banquet. You can imagine a banquet prepared and the invitations being sent out, and it's a who's who's list, really, of the CEOs, of the politicians, of everybody that somebody in the community. And they're all invited to the feast, and they all feel proud that they've been invited. They're the in crowd, the somebodies of the world, but somehow they have other things to do, so they can't come, the RSVP, unable to attend. And the master of the banquet then decides, what in the world am I going to do? So she goes out and invites anybody and everybody. The maimed, the lame, the blind, the brokenhearted, the marginalized, the failures, all the people who are the little people, the really nobodies. They haven't been invited to the country club or even the Rotary. But there they are, they're invited, they're brought together at this great banquet and they enjoy it, they love it. They've never seen anything like this before. The food, the atmosphere. That's the kingdom of God. Probably not such good news to those who want it all to themselves. But this parable is being enacted, I think, for us in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit descends and gathers a crowd, makes a family out of anybody and everybody, the church. Earlier, much earlier in this biblical account, back in Genesis again, Genesis says that the world at the beginning of creation was when the Spirit hovered over the dark, chaotic waters, was formless and a void, and that the Spirit brings order out of chaos. The Holy Spirit is generative, life-giving, loves to make something out of nothing, loves to make order out of chaos, and then make a little chaos out of too much order, like as at Pentecost. God is gathering up all these different and diverse people and is making them into a new family, the church, and thus the church begins. In the teaching of the apostles, because the way of the Spirit is so unfamiliar to us, none of us is born into the capacity to understand, to get it. We must all be taught the way of the Spirit over a lifetime. We must be taught to fellowship with people who might otherwise be people that we would avoid. Because the Spirit makes us family out of a group of people who are strangers. We're taught to break bread together in our common ordinary meals and in the Lord's Supper. Because now the body and the Spirit become one. And hospitality becomes a major sign of this new community to a broken world, unable to sit at table together. And we are taught to pray now because we are part of something greater than ourselves, and we understand that there is a power that we are put in touch with that is larger than our own powers. And so we intercede for each other. We intercede for the world. We intercede for the cosmos. And I marvel at the diversity of the creations of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it frustrates me to no end when those manifestations of the Spirit are so much different than what I think they ought to be. But that's again beside the point, my little puny opinions. And Mary and I were reminded of that beauty and diversity 2 weeks ago today when we worshiped with International Worship Church in Los Angeles, California. Yes, they're a congregation of Franconia Mennonite Conference in Southern California. Mary preached there, and her sermon was translated into Indonesian. The church is largely in Indonesian. They have an English service in the morning, right, Mary? And then an afternoon Indonesian service, and so it was Indonesian service that Mary was invited to preach. We stayed around and ate delicious Indonesian food, and were part of that church that took us in those few hours under their wings, took our grandson off and showed him the nursery and showed him the drums that he loved, and it seemed that he had a new circle of friends in a matter of a few minutes. It all seemed to me to be a kind of wonderful way that the Spirit brings very diverse people together, bringing order and unity from the chaos of culture, diversity, and division. But I think I'd be remiss if I didn't speak also this morning about the chaos of Pentecost. You perhaps noted that the text takes pains to note that those observing the events notice chaos and declare that these events are the result of people who've had too much to drink and are just plain drunk. But Peter stands up and declares that no, they're not drunk. This is too early in the morning for them to be inebriated. I'm not sure that that really matters. I think people can get drunk in the morning, can't they? Not that I know anything about that. But I think in an odd kind of way, Peter got it wrong. Because there is at Pentecost a strange sort of drunkenness, if you will, that's also, I think, at the heart of the church. That those looking in may somehow think that these people are drunk. Maybe not our expression of church, but some expressions of church. For when Peter quotes from the prophet Joel, he prophesies that ordinary people, young people without much education, old people with very little future, will stand up and see new visions and dream new dreams. They would not let the despair and the disorder of the world have the final say on what's going on. Against all odds, these people with the Spirit will live and act in confidence that the kingdom of God is alive among them and that it is growing like yeast in the bread dough and will not be stamped out. And when the Spirit descends, sometimes it feels like order is restored, and sometimes it seems like it introduces a lot of chaos. At least the birth pangs of a new world. And I can imagine that those of you who delivered a baby feel like in that moment there's a lot of chaos. But then the church grew, and more chaos came because of the new ideas and the new ways of being the church in the world, and people who generally aren't listened to very well, they speak up and they tell the whole world of a new advent of the world, the kingdom of God that they have found in the church of Jesus Christ. The church, I believe, was not created to be that stable, fixed resting place for an anxious culture. Rather, we are created to be a little bit of chaos in the world. To be that revolution that is a foretaste of a new age. A new age where it doesn't matter if you're black or white or brown or gay or straight or transgendered or rich or poor or urban or rural or liberal or conservative. To be the church, we must be on the move with the Spirit, the breath, the wind, the fire, with eyes, ears, and hearts wide open to where the wind of the Spirit is blowing in our midst and in our community. And that may look very different today than it did 40 years ago. It may look very different in 5 years than it does today. To have 9 or possibly 10 of you interested in becoming members of PMC feels like the breath brush of the Spirit blowing among us. To have Buck's Kids First using our facilities for their after-school program beginning in August, late August, feels like the breath of the Spirit blowing among us. To have opportunity as Community Connections team is planning to host a series of civil conversations in our space feels like the breath of the Holy Spirit among us. To continue to think how it is that we might become stronger allies to the LGBTQ community as we're doing with Brent Ander's presence with us last week and again next week, while also somehow working at staying lovingly connected to those who are not yet ready to welcome those LGBT folks, feels like the breath of the Spirit among us, even though it's hard, sometimes painful work. You could, and maybe in our second hour, we can recount some more ways in which it feels like the breath of the Spirit is moving among us, or maybe how you wish the breath of the Spirit might be moving among us. I leave you with a question. What might it mean if our church would constantly keep ourselves open and receptive to the wild promptings of the Holy Spirit? Aware that when we get too much order, the Spirit may just interject a little bit of chaos. Where might we be led, and how much adventure might be restored to our practice of the Christian faith if we were observed as being drunk with possibilities? We are here this morning because the Spirit has brought us together. And I can't wait to hear the stories in a couple of weeks of those of you who are coming into membership. It prompts us all to be willing to talk and tell each other about what it is that makes a difference here at PMC in our lives. The Spirit has brought us together for a purpose, and I end again with the words that we sang and that we recited in this song from our book, "As Tranquil Streams That Meet and Merge and Flow as One to Seek the Sea. Our kindred hearts and minds unite to build a church that shall be free. Free from the bonds that bind the mind to narrow thought and lifeless creed. Free from a social code that fails to serve the cause of human need. A freedom that reveres the past, but trusts the dawning future more. And bids the soul in search of truth adventure boldly and explore. Prophetic church, the future waits your liberating ministry. Go forward in the power of love. Proclaim the truth that makes us free. Amen.